Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. There we go again. Here we go again on Eerie House Radio. Oh, man, I tell you, I can almost hear James. Let me say that again. James Jonah Jameson going, teenagers. That's our topic today. Teenagers in classic horror films. I was a teenage whatever. I was sort of a teenage geek myself. But before we get into our topic today, there's a few things I wanted to bring up real fast. It's been kind of an emotional weekend for me. I don't often admit that, okay? But number one, the very cockles of my heart were heated. And if you ever had your cockles heated, you know how painful that can be, by the viewers in Eerie House Television when they told me last night how much the channel meant to them. And I mean, that just got me. And then, to top it off, this afternoon I spent some time in Elyria today in Hauntville. Hauntville is a haunted house in the Midway Mall. They bring it back every year. And when you think Elyria, Ohio, you can only think of one person, and that's Jim Klenk. Now, Jimmy passed nearly a year ago. And I was very pleased to learn from their acting manager right now that they had built a tribute site, or area, if you will, right in the haunt to Jimmy Klenk in honor of him and all the years he spent there, making the place great, making the place fun, making the place. I mean, he created so many dummy, life-size dummies of monsters and creatures. And at the time of his passing, they obtained much of the collectibles from his garage and his home. And by collectibles, I mean things that he made by hand. Different monster scenes using toys. It was an amazing thing. And when I learned that they were having this tribute, I was in possession of his award for the Horror House Hall of Fame that was presented to him this spring at Horror Hound Weekend. And I felt that that the award really deserved to be in this tribute area and belonged at Hauntville. As much as he loved Horror Hosts, I'm a little choked up here, okay? As much as he loved Horror Hosts, he also loved the haunt business and monsters in general. So with all that going on there, I felt that was the place the award should go, and I presented it to Maureen for them to keep forever and ever with their tribute area. They are also in possession, everyone should know, of Jim's infamous jacket and pith helmet that he wore at conventions all over the place. I mean, Jimmy was so well known, and it was a moving experience for me. Fortunately, I captured a bit of it on video, and we'll be doing a little tribute for Jim, and we'll put it out there for folks to see. The venue I have at hand, which is Eerie House Television. Looking forward to that. We have a caller joining us today. Hello, caller. Thanks for calling Eerie House Radio.
Hello, it is I, Gar the Ghoul.
Hey, Gar.
It is I, blah, blah. Hello.
Blah, blah. You are Gartastic for calling.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm having what is would be known as the internet woes of horror movie hosting because for a second week in a row, AT&T has done me dirt, and I don't have constant internet, so my show is
canceled.
So
you were bored and you called me, thanks.
My show is canceled. Most of the time, I'm in the makeup chair because it takes like 2 hours to do the makeup. And
I know. You know, I'm one of them schmuck horror hosts who kind of portrays himself. I really admire you and others who spend a great deal of time crafting their look. And
oh, yeah.
I hope your viewers appreciate it.
Yeah, I have a fan base. I call them viewers. Fans are in a window, you know. that was really I needed a rim shot for that.
Yeah.
Fans are in a window.
Well, anyway. Since your internet was down, I don't know if you caught the very beginning of the show, my open here, but I was discussing my fallen friend Jim Klink, who we lost last year. Did you know Jimmy?
I did not.
Okay. He was well known, especially in the Cleveland area, but
okay.
I mean, horror hosts across the world knew him. He was a super fan, and as a former associate of mine pointed out, a horror host in his own right.
I recall we just lost Chili Billy. Was that right?
We did.
Not to talk ill of the dead, but we're dropping like flies. I'm no spring chicken. I'm up into 52 now. 1,000 years old. No, 52. But
yeah, I'm up there myself. Gar, you would have really, really loved Jimmy had you known him. He was a teenager at heart, which is a segue over to
I'm an antique Batman toy collector, so I'm like still keeping my hand. Here's a funny thing, just really quick, is I ran across this. Someone said, I feel so young. I feel like I'm in my 20s. And then you go hang out with somebody in their 20s. Like, no, I'm 52.
Yeah. Boy, you got that right.
You know, it's like, but I feel so. Yeah, no, it's a mindset inside the old knocker there, you know, things clinking around, that we harness our inner youth. And that's good. And that's good. Are we of today's culture? No, not at all. But yeah.
No, we're not into today's culture. But I think we are teenagers at heart. I think for the most part, as teens or even preteens, is when we gained our love for the genre, and that is kind of why I picked today's topic. I was a teenage, whatever.
Yeah.
And it seems like the 1950s is when they really opened that door of mm-hmm. teenagers playing a prominent role in horror films.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm not selling anything. I'm nonprofit, but I get books because I want to learn more. And some of the books are, and we talked about this on previous shows. We talked about kiddie shows. They don't exist anymore, but you know, I have books on that. But one I ran across that talks about exactly what you just mentioned is a nice book by a guy named Thomas Doherty, Doherty, called mm-hmm. Teenagers and Teen Picks, The Juvenilization of American Movies in the 1950s. And it's got a whole fantastic place in it for monster stuff, but it talks about the juvenile delinquent films and all those.
Okay.
What happened was at a certain point in time, movie makers were like, at a certain point in the book that I read, it says we're going to make a movie, and we're going to put it in the theaters, and they'll watch it, by gosh. And then later they were like, wait a second, part of the demographic that has money are these little kids. So let's start making some movies, and we'll get their money. And that's when
I think with the boom of the middle class in the post-war era, more money went into the pockets of teenagers. They were getting the part-time jobs. The jobs that people now want $15 an hour for, but that's a whole other story.
Soda jerks. They don't exist anymore, but at a point in time.
Well,
Billy the
soda
jerk.
Part, but, yeah. But, no, and I think that's where they grabbed this target audience, and there were so many wonderful films in the 50s that featured teenagers, and of course, what a better place to start than probably one of the first films of that ilk. I was a teenage werewolf with Michael
to be bold,
Landon.
I was a teenage monster or something like that. Yeah, it was like early bad, too. But
Michael Landon.
Who would have thought?
Well, that was his pre-Bonanza days. And, you know, he plays something of a juvenile delinquent to some degree in the film.
Right.
You know, a troubled lad, a fighter. And,
he ends up under the influence of the doctor, Alfred Brendan, played by Whit Bissell, who I thought was great in the old films and also in the TV show The Time Tunnel.
He was also in, yeah, he's done several Mad Doctor things for horror. Yeah.
Yeah. And he recreates the role of the bad doctor in I Was a Teenage Frankenstein as well.
That one, yeah, that was it. And they throw him into the gator pit. That's like he's got a little dumbwaiter leading down to the alligators or something. I forget.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
That's okay.
If you haven't seen this 75,000-year-old movie, I just spoiled it. Sorry. But
wasn't that a horrible, horrible? I thought it was terribly frightening when I first saw it. The monster face on Teenage Frankenstein.
I just had an interaction with a viewer, in their memories of horror of the head that wouldn't die. It's in black and white. It's not 17 buckets of red paint, but. And I've shown it before, and I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of rough, but yeah, that one too. Yeah, there's so many fantastic ways to go in the genre of horror films. So.
Yeah, I thought that was, being very young when I saw it, I thought that was a terribly frightening face.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, so much so that in England they had a little different rating system than they had in the States, and horror often got what was called Certificate X, which was very comparable to rated X here in the United States. Now, there, of course, was no sexual content to speak of in Teenage Frankenstein.
Right.
But so horrifying, they gave it a Certificate X because of that horrible face.
I was talking to another viewer about another film that I ran across just recently, and I was like, okay, where's the problem? It was not that certificate, but it was banned, which I don't know if that's the same thing, banned in the UK. And I watched it, and I was like, that was a horrible film. So I don't know what they were upset about, but
film it was?
Oh, I'm looking on the old facey bookie thing page here because. And I'm looking at the conversation I had with this person about it.
I'll just share something here.
Continue on. Yes.
It's so funny how different nations view things differently. Like in the United States, we're a little uptight with or at least we were in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, uptight with nudity on television.
Mm-hmm.
Where England was not. I mean, you had the Benny Hill show where they'd show a little flashy, ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
Where that, that's terrible in the States, but horror, that was something they were more protective of their youth with. In fact, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad was given Certificate X at one point because the live skeleton, that skeleton looks too real, that's too terrifying. We're not going to let young people's minds be twisted, they'll turn into teddy boys or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's comparable to today's hoodies, I guess.
And the weird thing was, if you go back to the 1970s, where I was kind of a young and back then, was if you were young and parents weren't paying attention, the opportunity to see nudity, they had these dramas like Imperious Rex or Elizabeth R. or I, Claudia or something like that. Half of that, everybody's walking around nude. It's like, and you go, ooh, look at that. That's what a body looks like because you didn't know.
Thank you, PBS. Thank you, PBS.
Thank you, PBS. Yep.
Yes. It was educational,
wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that the source of this, and I'm trying to – I found – what did I find? Yeah. Some of the fun of international horror hosting aspect. I don't know if I've said this or not before. A little anecdote is because the internet is international and not, it's no longer in a small radius of 8 miles from the TV station or whatever you could pick up on the rabbit ears. I was giving away and had given away. I think you have one. You have one of the rubber chickens that I. it's a rebranded Rubber Chicken that I sent.
I dare say I do.
Yes, okay. So I'm giving these away for free at my cost, okay? So it's a $5 rubber chicken. Well, actually, no, it's a $7,000 rubber chicken, not to discount.
And well
the
worth
chicken.
It.
Yeah, right. So anywho, so someone wins, and they're in Germany. So long story short, I'm sending, you know, this moderately inexpensive rubber chicken that's been
about $50 in postage, right?
$75 postage to Germany to someone who was like, "Hey, I want a good chicken," and I was like, "Yeah, you did." And I'm like very happy to do that because that's part of the fun. If I was on the opposite side, I would go, "Yay, I got a chicken from whoever," you know. But
right,
yeah. So it's fun, but it can be expensive. Especially when you figure they could go right down the block and get themselves the same product probably in a gag store.
Do you have a favorite teen film from the 50s? What's your favorite?
Favorites. There's so many. Elvira gets asked this, and I'm no Elvira. I can just look down and go, nope, not there. But anyway, yes, I do. I do. I have one. It's the one that scared me the most as a little kid that I will never forget until I saw it as an adult and was like, I was afraid of that. The Hideous Sun Demon was one of the most terrifying films I ever saw, and it kept me awake at night, and I'll never forget it until I saw it as an adult and was like, what? But there was there's another one. And what's there's another one where a person is drawn and quartered, and I saw that. I was like, oh my God!
And that was a teen movie. That was a teenage movie.
It was a film I saw when I was young.
Let me clarify.
You're talking about a teen themed movie.
Right. What was your favorite teen themed movie?
The Teenagers from Outer Space is got to be one of the most horrible ones ever.
But it's a favorite.
Why there are teens up on a roof shooting laser guns at people at a pool party, I don't know.
And turning them into skeletons, yeah.
That was like, I grit my teeth when I think about it. That it's that bad.
I'm going to have to say one of my most memorable. I don't know that it's my favorite. It's the first one that comes to mind was Earth versus the Spider. You know, the teen couple that explored the cave.
Yes.
And there were a lot of scenes in the high school with the school dance when the giant spider came back to life when they thought they'd killed it.
Right. There's another one with little people, little persons in a costume of Earth versus the Flying Saucers, or that might
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
And,
that's
and,
a great team.
About the teens, and they're like, there's aliens, and the adults are like, get out of here, kid, you bother me. And you know, yeah. They're like, no, there's aliens, they're in the bushes, out at Makeout Point, you know, and great costumes.
Circle the wagon.
The aliens, they look so silly.
They did, but they're very iconic. I mean, when you think of the invasion of the saucer men, I mean. That is just so 50s, and I think that was the thing about teenagers in those films and teens in general being involved with horror films. At that age, you know, your parents, I think in any era, your parents are thinking, oh, what the heck are these kids thinking? What are they interested in? This is horrible. This is awful. For the most part, I mean, some people had supportive parents with their odd interests, but I would say for the most part, your average middle-income family kind of looked down and frowned on it, and so that was their escape. That was their thing, to go to the theater and see these movies.
Right. I have one or two families that tune in, and that's why having a live program, a live horror hosting, is kind of, you know, okay, it's live, so all you people that are watching, all you viewers, keep the chat like rated G, but enjoy the film. Because we've got little kids that are looking at all the information they're getting. Here's that one that we were talking about, the Saucer Man or something. Frank Gorshin with a crew cut is in that film.
Yes,
if you recall.
Yes, at the very beginning, I believe.
Yeah, well, throughout the whole thing, but he unless the aliens turned him into dust or something, I can't remember what happened to him.
Yeah.
But that was a nod to the...
It's a riddle we'll have to figure out. We have a caller.
Yes. Go ahead.
We have a caller, and I bet I know who this is. The ring on the phone sounds a lot like David Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie.
Oh, okay.
Am I right?
Why, hello there, fellow Northeast Ohio whore host.
Hi, hello there, sir.
Hello there. I'm from Gainesville, Florida, but it's spooky everywhere. Go ahead.
You know what? I'm surprised you didn't talk about my favorite kind of teenage horror movie.
Ooh, ooh.
The Blob. Steve McQueen.
Yes. There you go. Classic. Yeah.
Mmm.
Ooh,
haven't gotten around to that yet, but I'm glad
you
brought it up. That definitely, they're a gang of teenagers helping out to overcome the Blob.
And right up there also, the giant Gila monster.
There you go. There's another classic.
You know, the teenagers there that helped save the town. Come on.
Yep. A lot of the early teen films, too, they had musical acts in them. It's kind of a groaner now with the giant Gila monster.
The ballet dancer versus the monster, I think, is... it's not an American film. I think that was brought over, but really bad. And musical.
I recently, for the very first time, got to see a semi-obscure horror film. I actually had some Amazon bucks that I had earned or won or something like that, and I thought, I'm going to buy something I don't have in my collection. All right, I'll buy this. It probably won't be any good, but I've never seen it. And this was only within the last year. It was The Ghosts of Drag Strip Hollow. Boy, was that a fun movie to watch. That was money well spent.
Yeah, sounds like.
Yeah, you've got your racers, you know, and they're like teens, maybe even slightly post-teens, but they're predominantly teenagers. And there's a host of monsters in it. It's
mm-hmm.
great. It's good fun, and again, you got some musical acts in it, but a really, really fun 50s teen movie. I recommend it if you haven't seen it, you've got to see Ghosts of Drag Strip Hollow.
Mm. I sidebar again, not exactly teen. Is it teen? Are there teens in it? I'm sure there are. I ran across a film. It was made in Spain called The Yeti versus the Werewolf. That was the one that was banned in the UK. So horrible. A Paul Naschy film. So, yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah, Britain was kind of uptight about horror, especially in the 50s, and which is surprising because they were cranking them out with Hammer.
Mm-hmm,
You know.
Well, they were also uptight about violence. You know, you practically have sex right on television in UK, but Starsky and Hutch was too violent.
Right.
Go figure.
Monty Python, and they had Cleese sitting there as an instructor of the class. Okay, we're going to have sexual education, and they had like a bed right there in front, and the students are sitting there snoring and throwing paper planes, so like not interested, and that wouldn't happen. It was so weird.
Before we continue with our teenage classic horror films. I wanted to do kind of a disclaimer here. Last week, David and I were talking about the Palace Theater and hosting some movies
the
there.
After party.
Unfortunately,
in the after party.
Yeah. Oh, we talked about it in the after party. If any listeners went back and listened, we got to recant that because there was a change in management. It does not appear we'll be doing live entertainment there. I'm working with the board right now, but it does not. I would not count my chickens. They have not hatched. And with that in mind, let's take a brief, 30 to 40 second break. While we're talking about live entertainment and spook shows, let's listen to this.
Super Shocker number one, Dr. Macabre's Frightmare of Movie Monsters. Imagine seeing almost all the screen's scariest monsters alive in person. Hunchback of Notre Dame, Teenage Frankenstein, Daughter of Dracula, The Fly, a man's body, a fly's head, Rodan, the flying monster, the colossal beast, and more, many more, never here before. Plus, Super Shocker number 2, Spooks a Poppin'. A thrilling new idea in spook shows. We double dare you to see this double header of super monstrous, super human, super shockers in person on the stage.
And that's what live entertainment used to be like in the movie theaters, something we were hoping to recreate. We will. We will in the future, but unfortunately it looks like the palace is off for right now.
Have you ever noticed in horror trailers, the word macabre is brutalized all the time? It's macabre or whatever.
It's macabre.
Macabre. That's right.
So, David, what would you say is your favorite classic teenage horror film?
For me, I have to go with Blob. I love it.
Yeah.
Steve McQueen, although Steve McQueen wasn't quite a teenager, but most of them weren't.
Right.
You know who else is in that film? In fact, he appears at the very beginning and utters my favorite line in the movie Them.
Now who is that be?
Olin Howland. He's the old guy with the messed up hair at the beginning that I believe he's first to encounter the blob. The old guy? He was the drunk in Them that uttered my favorite line, "Make me a sergeant in charge of the booze." In Them.
Hey, I don't know if you got a second or not. I found a hilarious review from I Was a Teenage Zombie, and the review was on archive.org. He says this is almost a movie about boating teenage zombies. Or Teenage Zombies is a horror movie about not exactly teenagers who are not exactly zombies for about 3 minutes. The rest of the time, the movie's about walking and boating, walking while looking for a boat, walking toward or away from a boat, boating in order to go walking, or holding, I gotta say, catch my breath, walking on a bow of a boat and dragging a boat on or off shore. It's also a very exciting off-screen or water skiing sequence, as well as some imaginary horses. In between privileged, rich, quick kid transportation, there's a plan to turn all Americans into mindless slaves orchestrated by a group whose motives are apparently so diabolically they couldn't be discussed on film. And the movie also prominently features gorilla costumes, soggy tennis shoes, scraggly dead trees, shutter-mounted telephones, the world's biggest door knocker, inappropriate evening wear, highly concentrated serum with a near-zero consistency from one test subject to the next, and someone named Felix. I just thought that was hilarious.
What a great
And
review.
This is why we do what we do. Blah, blah.
Well, we got to enhance some of these turkeys, that's for sure. As horror hosts, that, I believe that's our job by definition.
Yeah.
But
so good. So good.
It's so funny because my son had watched that a few years ago, and he said, "Dad, don't watch this. It's there's all this walking. There's a whole lot of walking, and not much of a movie."
You'll be thrilled by walking and talking and boating and walking and more talking. And
yeah. The horror was, if you actually paid to see it in a theater, therein lies the horror.
Right.
And you think they all told their friends what a lousy movie it was? I bet not.
Nah,
it's all about
suffer.
The payoff if you get to see a zombie or Dracula or whatever.
There you go. There's so many. I don't know if I have a favorite. I recently, again, having seen Ghosts of Dragstrip Hollow was great. Giant Gila Monster, great. All great stuff.
Oh, Bloodlust, the teenage version of the Most Dangerous Game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Real quick, for the Eerie House Television, tonight.
Yes.
At 8 o'clock, it's Wild Thingdom. That's right, Rick Von Zipp with Mad Monster, followed by, at around 10:30, Arachna of the Spider People with Cat Women of the Moon. That's on Eerie House Television. Get a link from the Eerie House website on Facebook.
On Facebook. Now,
yeah, the Facebook page.
That's right,
where you can get a link. Because it's got an address that's so long, it's http:// stuff and things and like
you,
that.
You can.
Gentlemen, stick around for the extra bonus time coming up in just a few seconds for you live listeners. Evil Annie Ruppert, the movie. And I almost timed that perfectly.
Yes, sure.
There you go.
Yeah, I had a viewer.
5 seconds of ear-splitting onions a-go-go.
Right. I had a viewer slash friend. All the viewers end up being friends, like especially now and today, you can actually get in contact with them, message them. You can talk to them on the phone if you want to do that. And they'll tell me, Gar, you have to play this so that everybody can appreciate how bad this is. And so I'll go out and I'll get the DVD and then, you know, pop it in the old thing and we'll watch. And one of them was a teenage movie, and it was so bad. It was about a monster that had like a monster head, but the rest was like a bed sheet. And it would consume people, and they'd have to walk through the monster's legs, which is a bed sheet, and die. I can't. I'm looking for the name of the film now. It was teenagers, though. It was really bad. I don't remember where I put the.
While you're looking, another one I want to recommend. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, again, a overly discussed film by any measure. But if you've never seen it, you've got to see How to Make a Monster.
That one, yes, yep.
Yeah, that one has both the teenage werewolf and mm-hmm. teenage Frankenstein.
That's the one about the makeup artist that creates the teenage monsters. Is that the right one?
He flips out when he loses his job. The studio changes hands, and they go, we're moving away from this kind of stuff, and he flips out and decides he's going to give them a real scare and creates real monsters, and they recreate the makeup from both Teenage Frankenstein and Teenage Werewolf, and that's a pretty good film to watch if you haven't seen it. That's another one if you're becoming a real buff of these kind of classic 50s films. Certainly a B-flick. God, there's so many I could
really
recommend
enjoyed
right
that.
Now.
I really enjoyed that. It was a teenage werewolf. I did really like that one.
Yeah. That one is probably one of the best known of the teenage films. And, of course, you know, the ladies our age go nuts over Michael Landon. So you got that going on. A film I have not seen that I would like to very much is called simply Teenage Monster from 1958. I have not seen that yet. And I have seen part of, but not all of. It's kind of hard to watch. It's a very young Robert Vaughn in Teenage Caveman.
Yeah. That was another review I saw. Here's a 25-year-old Robert Vaughn playing a teenage caveman with a hairstyle.
Yes. Yeah, cavemen with hairstyles is a little hard to buy into as a viewer, and I think what they had going there was some racy posters to was the draw there. To
look at
what,
one
young
of these
inexpensive. About 7 years later, he was on The Man from U.N.C.L.E., huh?
Yep.
Looking for one of these inexpensive combination horror things you get on a little DVD for like $2 at someone. Was looking at. And I ran across one. I thought that was it, but darn, because that movie was so horrible. I watched it and I was like, "Are you really?" That's the problem with having like a library and it's in drawers and. Oh wait, no, best of the worst. Best of the worst.
Worst of the best.
Yeah, no, it's Kmart, $5. Best of the worst. No, that's not it. It's got Ape Man, Manos, Hands of Fate, which that's just bad.
Not too many teens in that one.
No, I thought it was.
Thanks for being so prepared. We appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm right. Kidding you.
Always.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh wait, maybe this is it.
What do you mean he brought all of his DVDs into the studio? Come on.
Well, yeah, it's like digging through all the masses here. One was called Drive-In Movie Classics. Let's see if it's on here. Gosh, I wish I... Anyway, it was the one... I'll have to come up with it later. It's one. The monster is someone in a bed sheet with a monster head, really bad, and I can't find it, which I really wish I could. Anyway, okay. Moving
now,
on.
I'm not sure if they're teens or maybe people in their early 20s, but another one that I have only seen recently, again in the last year, was Hillbillies in a Haunted House.
I'm trying to scratch my head to come up with these because they're not coming. It's like I need.
No, that I'm sorry.
More research.
That's actually the name of the film, Hillbillies in a Haunted
House. Oh, no. I'm not discounting that. I can't pull any out of my little mixed up noodle to toss out there. There are so many fun ones, and I can't. I'm coming up zero, but.
He's drawing a blank.
I know. Poor horror movie host. Can't remember anything.
Yeah, that's okay. Now, Hillbillies came out in 1967 and actually had some fairly well-known people in it. Ferlin Husky, a well-known country artist.
Yeah.
But it also had John Carradine, Lon Chaney Jr., Basil Rathbone. Merle Haggard makes an appearance in the film.
I love it. Oh.
Yeah.
What about the ghost in the visible bikini? There you go.
There you go.
Yep. Eric Von Rip in it, or is it Eric Von
Zipper?
Zipper.
Oh,
yeah,
those beach. I love those beach movies, and that's where horror host Rick Von Zipp obviously, you know, got the name. But what a great character he was, played by. What's his name?
who plays Eric Von Zipp? Or
yeah. Oh, what was his name? I'm going to look that up.
I'm
equally prepared.
Harvey Lembeck?
Harvey Lembeck, that's him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for internet working a little bit. Here's one, not necessarily a teen, but Little Red Riding Hood versus the Monsters from 1962. Or it's also called Tom Thumb and Little Red Riding Hood, 1962. Horrible. Little kids and teens, sort of, but. Just,
ooh. Yeah, there you go.
Painful, but fun.
Painful.
But horror.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. Now, see, today there's a lot of teens in horror films and these slasher films, but I really didn't want to get into that part of the discussion. There's just so many, number one. And number two, quite frankly, I'm more of a fan of the classic horror films. I'm not into guts and spleens flying all over. And in today's movies, you got too much gratuitous sex, and that's one moral though. If you're going to have sex, you're going to die in that movie.
The House of Wax, and they're putting towards. It's more of, okay. Well, there was the one remake of the Saturday Morning Adventure called The Monster Squad, redone in a film, and that was kind of teens. It was young kids. For their Monster Squad. But if you look at now, they're kicking it towards teens, but they're actually like 20 years old, and like the first remake in the century of the House of Wax that had that blonde in it. That's very.
Oh, yeah. Good old. I'll never forget good old. What's her name?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, going back to the House of Wax with Vincent Price, yay! So much fun. But not necessarily teens. Yeah, so.
No. Mm. No, they're just. Those, the teen movies, I think, were the ones that were the most fun for me to watch when they appeared on our local hosts, in particular, Superhost had a lot of those. That's where I saw Giant Gila Monster. That's where I saw Earth vs. the Spider.
Uh-huh.
And was first exposed to those types of films.
And it kind of makes you more inclusive to the film because you're in that age, and it's like, ooh, this could happen to, maybe, I don't know, depends on how imaginative of a child you were.
Mm-hmm. You brought up a good point earlier, Gar, not just in the horror genre, but, again, the film industry did work a lot towards bringing in the teens. They had a lot of the juvenile delinquent. They had a lot of the rock and roll movies. Some of those early JD movies, you got your actors like Vic Morrow.
Right.
Who I once got in trouble as a disc jockey when I mentioned his name as Vic Morrow. That was not well received.
Yeah.
That was a shame, his passing. But, young.
There was another horror movie host that, and this was maybe several years ago. How can I not remember the guy's name? It wasn't the Cool Ghoul. Zachary's still around. Someone up in your area. A lot of the stuff is up north. Dr. Creep. I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, he passed 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
I saw one of the last interviews with him on television. He was giving away things for Halloween on a local TV station, and it was like, oh, well, it's still good. He was dressing up and doing the thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, the teen movies, lots and lots of fun. I can watch those almost any time. And fortunately, some of them have fallen into the public domain so that we can put them on. Our shows.
Yeah, that's one of the sticklers is the public domain opportunity.
Someone
said that as they were trying to hunt down these defilers of copyright things, that Warner Brothers accidentally reported them their own website, and they got taken down or something. I can't remember what happened, but
they closed themselves down.
They did.
We violated our own copyright, damn it.
That's right. We violated ourselves. But that's a whole other discussion.
Right. You do have to watch it. I have heard of horror hosts getting nailed.
Yep.
Sometimes not for the movie, but even just for their bits, putting popular music in there. We had a local disc jockey here by the name of Uncle Vic. He told this story on this show. Well, it's not exactly this show. It's what this show used to be named.
Right.
He came on as a guest, and he did a spoof of one of Prince's songs. And he called it Erotic Suburbs, and it had basically the same bass line. And it was an innocent spoof song, but he got the cease and desist. He's lucky that's all he got.
Right, they can get rather litigious quickly.
Yes.
I've gotten bounced off of a website, and it was the first time I was on the website, and the deal with that website was called Justin TV. And so there were a lot of people not doing what I was doing, because they were just regurgitating old television shows or something. So they had all that going on. So I was figured, I'm fairly innocuous, and, only the people that are going to really like old horror movies and somebody that dresses up is going to get into it. And the first time I got halfway through the movie and they killed me. And then they said, and I tried to get back, and they were like, well, we got this complaint. And I was like, what? A complaint? except for how you would rate that type of film, because you got to admit, the films aren't going to win an Emmy or anything.
But at the same time, it is someone's property, whether it's intellectual
or
otherwise.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know how you would feel if you were making just a few pennies and somebody grabbed your stuff and started. You know what I mean? It's a slippery slope.
And the deal was, when we finally got down to the baseline of it, was it was not someone that was concerned with that. It was not a company and rights and this. It was just somebody was like, let's they call them on the internet trolls, and it's not under.
Yeah,
a
I was. And I was going to say there's plenty of trolls out there who want to spoil people's good time for one reason or another, whether it's jealousy, whether it's boredom, and they're truly trolls. I don't know. I want to thank you, Garf, for calling in. We got a little less than a minute to go, and my dear friend David Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie.
Pleasure.
Always appreciate your contributions to Eerie House TV too.
And it's always an education to even just listening in. You always have the opportunity to learn so much about the movie.
I learned something from you. In fact, I shared it just before you logged on to TV yesterday. I learned something from you that I did not know. And I reshared it during the Three Stooges tribute that we ran this morning.